So he walks in, and he, as a good Catholic, he sat in the front pew. Uh-oh.
And the one of the Greek men who is the usher. Excuse me, but you can't sit here. Why? Because this is for reserved for special people.
Oh.
Well, I'm a guest of your priest. You can't sit here. But your priest invited me. You can't sit here. You have to sit in the back. But I'm a guest of your priest. You can't sit here. So, as Richard put it, as an Italian, I'm not going to have any Greek tell me what to do. So he just sat there. I'm not moving. I'm a guest of your priest. So a few moments later, five more men came.
Wow.
So here's six Greeks, and they're saying, you can't sit here. I'm not moving. You can't sit here. This is reserved for special people. I'm a guest of your priest. You can't sit here. So during the coffee hour, Richard went downstairs. And even more Greek men came up to him and said, are you Greek? No, I'm not Greek. I'm an Italian-American. Why are you here? Because your priest invited me. There's a Catholic church down the street. And so the last time we heard from Richard and the last time he bought any prayer robes ended right there. Never heard from him again, except that he told me that story. Now, that is an extreme. But think about it. When we have visitors in our parishes, what are we doing? Are we making them welcome? You know, this is not a private club. Orthodoxy is not a private club. And I'll wager that most of us here are not Russian or Greek. Am I right?
I'm Greek.
Right. I'm Russian.
I'm neither.
All right, so we got two people, one Greek and one Russian.
Californian.
But most of us here are not, right?
She's Greek too.
Who's that?
I had the DNA test. I've been jealous of Father Basil Rhodes being a Scotsman for a long time, and now I find out I'm 30% Scotch. But you know what Father Basil told me?
Scotch.
He says, Father Trifon, because I told him I'm envious of their kilts, and he says, Father Trifon, all you have to do is drink Scotch. And if you drink enough Scotch, you will become a Scotsman. And I said, but I don't like Scotch. And he said, that's because you haven't had good Scotch. So he brought out a bottle and he poured me some good Scotch. And now I'm really,
you like,
I love Scotch. And when I was in Victoria this last summer, there was a bagpipe band went across in front of me. And all of the constables, most of the constables know who I am because I always flash my badge and let them know that I'm one of them. And one of them said, you know, why don't you come up here and be one of our chaplains and with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police? And I said, do I get a red jacket? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I'll see what I can do. But so here I am. I'm talking to these, I'm watching this band go by, and I love bagpipes. And so later I'm standing in front of the Parliament building talking to some constables, and three guys from the bagpipe band that's finished are now walking back. And I stopped them and I said, I want you to know that I'm within a pint of being a Scotsman. And this one guy said, hurry up. Let's open it up. I don't know how much time we have.
Well, in about 15 minutes, we're going to have an accomplice.
Okay.
So you could ask some questions.
So let's, yes.
Get back to when you're first becoming a chaplain, fireman chaplain, and you had mentioned that one of the jobs is to notify people who've been killed in accidents and all that. Tell me some of your experiences doing that.
I think that probably the worst experience that I've had, chaplains often suffer from post-traumatic stress. And I have been very fortunate because I've had some really bad situations on Vashon, and I don't have the luxury of having other chaplains that can come and support me. And so I've had last year, the state of Washington discovered that Vashon Island had the largest largest concentration per capita of suicides in the state of Washington, right on Vashon. Most of them young people. 14-year-old boy who was head off with a shotgun on his mom's rural stoop of their house. Another young man took a pistol and put it right here, and the room was covered with blood and gray matter. And the owner of the apartment was just totally losing it, and I had to come over there for that. And I'm trying to be supporting this guy while I'm looking at this room. And I've had, when the 14-year-old killed himself, I had three deputies that were losing it because they all had kids that age. And I had to be the strong one. God has given me the grace to do that. But the worst one was when I had a telephone call on Christmas Eve about 6 years ago. A woman had died. She had been a foster mother to two little girls. There were two six-year-olds who were from abusive families, separate families. They were not siblings. And she had had these two little girls, and when it was decided by the courts that neither of these girls could be returned to their birth families because of abuse, it was too dangerous to let them go back, and this woman said, well, I'd like to adopt them. So this woman adopted these two little kids. And on Christmas Eve, she let them open their first gift, and it was a little matching dolls. And then she said, now Santa's coming tonight, and tomorrow morning, you know, you can come out and there'll be all these gifts from Santa. So she went to bed, and then early in the morning, one of the girls woke up, and they're all excited. Santa's been here, there's all the tree is covered with all these gifts. So the little girl runs in to wake her mama and says, Santa's been here, wake up, wake up. And the 911 call from this little girl said, I can't wake my mama. She's got glue coming out of her mouth, out of her nose. The woman had diabetes.
Aww.
And she died in the night on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And so when I arrived, the medics are still there. They're waiting for the medical examiner to retrieve the body. And the sheriff's deputies are taking the photos and doing all the, detailed work. And so I'm charged with taking these little girls out on the back stoop of the house, rural house, and keeping their attention while they can get all that done and get the body out of there. And they were both the sweetest little girls, and they were both clutching their dolls. And I'm thinking, these two girls had been raised in monstrous situations, and now this. The one woman who was their real mother to them and loved them, now this. And someone about a week earlier had given me two little coins that were like stamped little coins that had an angel on one side with the wings and the works. And they said, here, you might use this sometime in your ministry. So I put them in my pocket, and there they were. I have a vest that says chaplain on the badge on the back, and it has my name, has a badge here in my name, Father Trifon. And so I had those two coins in one of the pockets of that. So I took out those two coins And I gave them to the two little girls, and I said, your mama wanted you to have these to remember her and to know that she's always there watching you and looking over for you, even though she can't be here now. And then the grandmother arrived, the mother of this woman, to take the girls. And the only thing I know that happened is 2 days later we found out that she had a court order. She couldn't have contact with them because she was a drug addict. Oh. So who knows what happened to those little girls. Oh. But I remember when I left, I pulled over the side of the road about a quarter of a mile away, and I cried for a half hour. It was awful. I've had mothers collapse into my arms when they found out that their son was killed in an accident. I remember one time a 17-year-old boy steered away from hitting a deer on a country road, slammed into a telephone pole. His best friend was following in another car. They were going to study at his home, and he had already talked to his mom and said, my friend and I are coming home, we're going to study at our house. And the next call she got was from this other boy's mom, who got a call saying, my friend just slammed into a telephone pole and he's unresponsive. I think he's dead. So she called his parents, Ryan's parents, and they came running over there, and I got the call, and I'm on my way, and I'm saying to myself, God, please don't let this be a young person, and please don't let this be anyone I know. And it was both. I knew Ryan when he was a little boy, and I knew his parents, and so they were sitting in the back of an aid car crying, and I got in there and held them, and then I drove them back in my SUV and had one of the a couple of firefighters go with me to drive their car back, one with a medical vehicle. And then I stayed up all night long with them while all of their friends from around the island were coming in to give support to this family. So it's a hard job, really hard. And but again, I feel like what I do with my blog, I feel called to do this. When I first asked for a blessing to be a chaplain for the Sheriff's Department, my Archbishop said, what does this entail? And I said, well, you know, it means that I have to do a background check and take a lie detector test. And he said, well, I'm the one that decides whether you serve or not. And this is Soviet. This is like the Soviets. They're going to decide, and I say no, so I couldn't do it. But they didn't require a lie detector test for the fire department, so I immediately became a fire chaplain. And then after I was a fire chaplain, then it was everything opened up, and now I'm sheriff's chaplain for two different departments. You know, and now my bishop's happy with that. So, you know, it's and in our defense of our bishops, you know, it's a hard job. And it's a thankless job. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I remember once I heard about a Ukrainian Catholic bishop in, I think it was in Detroit, that people were angry at him at his cathedral, and a bunch of women from the cathedral confronted him on the porch of his cathedral and beat him up. You know, so, you know, that's, bishops' jobs are difficult. And but you know, there's a value in being obedient. And you know, when my bishop told me to stop doing my blog, I will not do my blog or my podcast or go on Facebook. So now I'm blessed to be back doing that, and you know, it's